This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Bow, bow, bow.
All right. 49ers season has essentially begun. They're having their first practice today. And this is from the 510 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. 510 says, this is T from Oakland. Wait, what are you guys talking about? Last year was a perfect scenario to see if a guy was worth this contract without a top supporting cast around him. And the Niners paid him anyway. The elite quarterbacks that make this money make players around them better. We saw he couldn't do that last year, and the Niners will now have to live with this situation. And I saw that you went inside some numbers, and you were asking questions about that. So, your thoughts?
Well, I'm also operating under the premise that he's going to be here for a long time. Like, whether you think Purdy should have been paid or not, the fact remains, it's done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're married to him. Now, are you going to get a divorce in a couple of years, or are you going to be able to see this thing through through thick and thin? That remains to be seen. You know, we were just talking about what happens the first four games when Purdy doesn't have his surrounding cast. And I mean, he's probably not going to be putting up massive numbers. But I don't think that any quarterback that's paid beyond, I would say, the top four or five, which, can we agree Brock Purdy's not a top five quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, I think most people would give us that. It's clear to me. Outside of there, all of those guys have either good situations and are successful, or in bad situations and are not successful. So to me, it's as much on Purdy as it is on the 49ers at this point. And that's why I think they're using this year as a little bit of a retooling season. And how can you still be competitive while doing that? You know, in many ways, you're looking at maybe like a 2023 Rams season when they stripped down a ton. They got rid of all this money. They traded guys away, but they kept a couple of key players. You know, they kept their quarterback, obviously, in Stafford. They kept some of their big wide receivers or big weapons. Cooper Kupp was one of them. And on defense and on offense, honestly, in the draft, they hit on a bunch of guys. They hit on a lot of defensive linemen that are now looking like studs. They hit on a Puka Nacua who looks like a game changer. And that's kind of where the Niners are. Like, I think, you know, you talked about this season's going to be determined by how much they get from their veterans. I don't disagree with that. But in a way, like, this season and the remainder of Brock Purdy's contract is going to be determined by how well they drafted this year. I think that's why they kept all their picks. They didn't trade up. They didn't condense picks. They used all, 10? And now you're looking at a draft class where Mykal Williams and Alfred Collins, their first two choices, are probably going to start this year. Nick Martin is maybe not a starter, but he is someone who could compete for the off-ball linebacker spot. Upton Stout is probably going to have to start at some point this year at the cornerback position. C.J. West, who Fillmore like Mike's, is going to be in rotation at the D-tackle spot. Jordan Watkins, because of their lack of wide receivers at the beginning of the year, is going to have to play. I mean, like, their top five or six guys that they drafted this year are going to have to play, combined right. with the dudes we already got last year. So they're young players to me. Whether they're up to the challenge or not is going to dictate how competitive the Niners are.
I mean, I no doubt about it, and that's why I don't have any idea what this team's going to be, because they're probably going to play more first and second year players this season than, I don't know, at any time since Shanahan took over, with the possible exception of the first 2 years, which I can't even remember, quite frankly. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff's in Montclair. What's up, Jeff? How you doing, man?
Love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
It's always a pleasure to hear your show. I got three short things. Why is Moody on a team? He cost him the Super Bowl in two games last year. He's a choker. Colton McKivitz, maybe the worst right guard the team has ever had with the hits and pressures he allowed. You know, they didn't really upgrade him or much on the line. Puka Nacua is a holdover. And then Shanahan hasn't really done much in terms of improving the blocking. And Purdy did an incredible job with no blocking, considering, hey, how many hits can you take before you start losing your confidence and start having fear and running around with your head cut off like a chicken, man?
Yep.
So I think he did a great job.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the call. I'm a little bit with him on Moody.
Jake?
Yeah. I think it's tough to come back from a year like that. There's a lot, like, you know how I feel about pressure. I think it's overrated. And I think most pro athletes handle pressure way better than we think. With that said, Moody, I mean, like, he can't miss a kick early in the season. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to go down that road.
Well, not a pressure kick, but that's why you...
Well, but even if it's...
That's why you're going to have other guys in there that are kicking. I mean, I don't think it... Yeah, kickers are expendable. Like, if Jake Moody doesn't produce at the beginning of this season, he's going to be released. And that is going to be a smear on John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, because you used a third-round pick on a kicker. Like, that kicker better be damn good. And I know that was the only position they really had to fill at the time they chose him. But, you know, we're talking about the importance of draft classes. And the last one looks okay. But, I mean, 2023 is not giving you a ton at this point. Even 2022, outside of Brock Purdy, is not a great draft. You know, they're responsible for being in this position because they haven't been able to replenish their talent pool.
Brock Purdy talked to the media also yesterday along with Shanahan and Lynch. And the wide receiver group looks a little bit different. So how's it working with some new faces there, Brock?
I mean, obviously, I think we're going to, you know, need some work with the new guys, the young guys. The receiver room for sure looks different. And, you know, obviously every single year it's going to be a little different. But for me, this is a crucial time to continue to work with those guys, the new guys, and, you know, for timing purposes and just getting to know everybody's body movements and getting in and out of cuts and stuff like that. So big time of year for that. But that's sort of been the case every year when we get back into, you know, the flow of things. But I think, you know, for the young guys especially, it's going to be cool to see them, you know, compete and learn and go through just more pressured situations and stuff and see how they handle that. But it's good for everybody across the board. So definitely going to be new. It's going to be a challenge, but a good challenge for all of us, and I'm excited for it.
When I hear Brock Purdy talk like that, it does feel like a reset for this team and an understanding that they've got to kind of refigure out who they are, what they do well. And I just, when I hear him talk like that, it's why I don't think the 49ers are a Super Bowl contender. They have so many ifs, and they have a lot of question marks, maybe not even question marks, but just questions about guys. And I, Now, you said you think this could be the year before the year.
I think that's the goal.
Right. The goal is to, you're right, be competitive. It's make the playoffs slash be competitive while you think you're retooling and rebuilding with the goal of being better the following year. Now, the question I have is, can we really talk about, you know, being better 2 years from now when they do still have a lot of veterans on this team? Like, you know, I don't know what Trent Williams is going to be in 2 years. I don't know what Kittle's going to be like in 2 years or McCaffrey in 2 years. So, but yes, that's, and to me, Evan, that's why they have to be competitive this year, or that's the goal, because they got some key guys getting up there.
Well, they got to figure out if they have anybody they can build around. You know, Purdy's the only dude. I mean, like, Fred is closing in on 30, Kittle's past 30, McCaffrey in running back years is past 30. Trent Williams is obviously closer to 40 than he is to 30. Like, all their best players, Bosa is even, I think, what, 27 now? I mean, these guys have been in the league for some time. They got to figure out who the next group is going to be. And that's why, to me, it's like, yeah, I think Purdy understands exactly where they're at. And he still wants to win. But, like, this is where I think there is pressure on him. He has to be the guy to usher in whatever the next stage of the 49ers is. That's what he's paid to do. And does that mean getting to the playoffs? I hope so. But in a way, it means also, if this season doesn't go well, like, he's got to wear it. And I think the Niners believe he's up for that. You know, not every single quarterback gets to win year after year after year after year. Guys have down years. Teams have lulls. I mean, look at the 49ers. But to me, holding Brock Purdy to the expectation of this, if we all agree that the window is closed, right? 2019 to 2024, that was the window.
Okay.
If we agree that that's closed, I'm not holding him to that standard, because that's done. Like, your team is not going to be those teams. Your defense is not going to be as good as it was in 2019. Your offense is not going to be as good as it was in 2023. And you need to stop breaking the mic. Steiny.
It's not broken.
Why it's every single day do I see it dangling like a car freshener in your electronic vehicle?
Because we have substandard equipment.
Somebody get Sam. Oh.
No, we don't need Sam. I can.
I was in the middle of a great point, and you ruined it for me.
I can screw it in.
I know.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Can you remember?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes greatness just comes and goes. So, I mean, like, I'm not holding Brock Purdy to the standard of the Super Bowl window, because I don't think they're in one right now. But what he has to do, in my opinion, what he's paid to do, is to usher this franchise into, hopefully, in a perfect world, another window. Like, I think that's what Shanahan is also, that's what I kind of hear him talking about in his conversations, both at the podium, but also with Tim Kawakami, is if we're looking at, like, three-year windows, okay, well, how close are we to that next three-year window? Is it going to be 2026? Is it going to be 2027? Will they not have one? You know, and I think that's why a lot of the interest in the Niners has waned a bit, is because people are doubting that they got a team or a quarterback that can get them back to a Super Bowl, nevertheless win one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility they could win a Super Bowl, but I agree.
I think this season it is.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think they can win a Super Bowl this year.
See, now this is just the difference between you and me. I feel like if you give a team a shot at the playoffs, and you kind of got to give them a shot at the Super Bowl.
Not really.
Yeah, that's me.
I mean, Well, but you also operate under the assumption that any team
that
gets
first of all, tell me what I operate under and what I don't, unless you know for sure. So tread lightly.
Can I continue?
Sure.
Okay. So you operate under the assumption that any team that gets to the playoffs can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're
I don't subscribe to that.
Okay. That's fair.
Like,
but it's like if the 49ers
when the Chargers got to the playoffs this year, I did not think they could win a Super Bowl. Same for the Texans. Same for trying to think who in the NFC had felt that way about. Oh, the Vikings. Like the Vikings had a great season last year. I didn't think they could win a Super Bowl. Now they could have proved me wrong, but yeah, I'm absolutely allowed to believe that just because you get to the playoffs doesn't mean you're a Super Bowl team.
I'm just saying if they're in the playoffs, like that's step one. Really? You don't give a chance.
I mean, yeah, sure, any team's got a chance, but no, like going into last year, I'm not looking at the Minnesota Vikings and saying, yep, I think that team's gonna run the table. Like that team's got a chance to run the table. Because I didn't. I didn't believe in Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, the Niners could be 5-6, 11 games through the season, and get hot, finish 10-7, and then they're that team you don't want to play.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
That team this year probably would have been who, the Rams? The Rams are the team that teams didn't want to play. Yeah, they got to the division round. They got knocked out.
Very close game.
I know. And then the Eagles just dog-walked everyone else.
Brock Purdy on, did he work on anything specifically?
I hope so.
This offseason? And if so, what?
Honestly, just continue to work on my mobility and stuff. I feel like I'm somewhat more of a stiff, quarterback. That's not a bad thing, but something that I always try to work on is just, you know, my arm and mobility with that and keeping it, you know, stretched out and stuff. But outside of that, it's more so, you know, making sure I'm on top of my mechanics when throwing to the sideline, deep ball, some running things and making sure I'm in shape with my legs. So, I mean, those are all little things that I just try to hone in on.
I'll tell you what, I love honesty, and it takes a lot of guts for Brock Purdy to acknowledge he's a stiff. I mean, that takes guts. He knows he's got a lot of work to do. Oh, he said he was stiff, not a stiff.
No, I think that's projection.
I thought he said...
He's not a stiff.
No, he's
not. I'll get you something stiff.
Where was that from?
What was that?
Oh, that might have been from a Saturday show. Pasta knows me. Steiny, there's always things he can work on. There's always things he can get better at. What do you think Brock Purdy needs to get better at? Assuming he's not going to... He can't go to the lab and get a cyborgian right shoulder.
What can he get better at?
Like, what was he working on this summer?
How about those sideline throws, 15 yards?
Means he's got to get a stronger arm.
Yeah. But he said he's a stiff, so how's he going to get a stronger arm?
No, you said he's a stiff. He said he is a little stiff.
Oh, I got you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Out there's excited about football season.
You didn't answer the question.
Which was what?
How can he get better?
I just said those out patterns that are 15 to 20 yards that he needs to get some mustard on. Like PJ Carlissimo told Sprewell to put some mustard on those passes. I'm hoping Kyle Shanahan tells Brock Purdy to put some mustard on those passes.
Someone in the YouTube chat, San Jose Jazz fan, said you need a cyborgian mic stand. I'm kind of with you. I thought you said you could screw... All right, well, we got 7 minutes until the break, and then we'll get someone here to help you out.
Nobody needs to help me out. I can screw it back in, okay? But I don't want to do it now because it'll make sounds. Somebody says Purdy needs to work on seeing more than 60% of his targets. That's from... our P1 Jim Mole on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And the 415 saying he needs wet ball drills. He needs to drill work with wet footballs.
Yeah, where did he go to train this summer? Antarctica?
Hey, Carter.
Florida.
Carter.
Florida. Well, it does get mucky down there.
Do I want to take Marvin Livermore? I do. Now, I want to take Marvin Livermore, even though that's the comment.
Why wouldn't you?
Because it says, Marvin Livermore, you guys are weak and pathetic. Okay, Marv, welcome to the show.
What's up, Marv?
Bring it on, man.
Hey, Marv. Marv.
I did say the weak part.
Oh, hey, what's up? Yeah, loud and clear.
Hello.
What's up?
All right, good. Yeah, I didn't say the pathetic part. I did say weak. There's three or four things you're missing. Is one, we don't give grace to the first round draft picks that go to awful teams like, hey, you got to step up your game and make everybody better. Two, 30 teams would take Kittle, and at least 28 would take a McCaffrey. So there's some weapons still. And so giving, trying to give grace to quarterback now is just weak, in my opinion. Like, and they have the weakest schedule in the history of the league.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
How could he not win games? That doesn't make sense. That's weak on you guys to say no expectations for Purdy when the road is set clear for him.
Well, what are your expectations for the Niners, Marv?
I really think that if they get some surprises on defense based on the schedule, I mean, they should be 12-5. They should. I mean, you look at the schedule, they're not playing anybody. So it's not a matter about the first four games. Shanahan needs to put Purdy in position to win. If Trent Williams comes back and plays at like a top 10 left tackle, he doesn't have to be the number one, but top 10 left tackle. McCaffrey comes in and even does 90% of what McCaffrey does. Kittle. He's always going to be Kittle. And then you have Pearsall. If he steps up a little bit, Juwan Jennings does his thing. I don't see how you guys are not are giving excuses for him before the season starts. They are reloading, particularly on defense, but they got weapons all over and both sides of the ball compared to historically bad teams.
What about the offensive line?
No, that's what I mean. So you get some improvement from Trent Williams, and hopefully one of the right side, they play a little bit better. But again, you with McCaffrey, that opens up your running lanes because they're going to put more people in the box to try to stop him. And then you can get his short dink passes past the linebackers. So there's ways to overcome not good offensive line. And Shanahan's supposed to be a genius, so he should be able to figure that out.
Yeah, Marv, what I'm talking about mostly is, and I appreciate the call, and you can stay on. No, okay. Is early in the season, for sure, he's going to have fewer weapons than you'd like to think he's going to have at midseason. But you know what? I actually didn't have a problem with Marv because he thinks they're going to be 12-5. So, and you know, in another year where we were more sure of the 49ers and saw this schedule, I would probably agree with him. But I don't know about this team, and it's not just Purdy. I mean, to me, Purdy. Like, I feel like I know Purdy. I think Purdy's the quarterback he's been for 3 years. Like, I think he's been essentially the same quarterback. Last year, was there some slippage? Yes. Were there some reasons for it? Yes. But I think we know what Purdy's going to do. And I think it's going to be mostly the other guys that dictate the true success of this team.
Yeah, I mean, 12-5 is... I think that's a lofty expectation, personally. Like, can we agree that the 2023 team was the best team that they've had in like under Purdy, right?
Okay.
They went 12-5. They made the Super Bowl. Like, that was a really good team, and they went 12-5. So, could they? Sure. I don't want to, I guess, rob them. I'm not setting my bar that high. I think their expectation, and more, I've said this before, is for them to make the playoffs. If they don't, yes, that's a disappointment. But the first four games are not going to dictate your entire season. The year they went 13-3, which was the year in 2022 that Brock Purdy emerged, they started out 3-4.
They started
They started out, I think, had 3-4, and they finished 13-4.
Yeah, they had 2 years during this run where they didn't get off the great starts.
They started 3-5 and made the NFC Championship game in 2021. A bad start is not the end-all, be-all of your season. And I realize that football, you know, we're going to come in on Monday and scream our heads off, and I get it. But when you say the first four games, if you're not going to have your complement of characters... Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think that the first quarter of the season is the end-all, be-all. Like, that's not what I'm judging the Niners on.
They'll go 0-4.
Yeah, I'll
be digging yourself a hole.
You want to bet they don't go 0-4?
No.
That's what I thought.
No, I only make... Yeah, you're a different kind of better than Goo.
Yeah, because I don't gamble... Well, my neighbor doesn't gamble all the time. How about that?
Gotcha. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. I see Frank. I see Tim. We'll get to both of you guys. We'll get to all three of you guys on the other side. And that segment, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I got a little nugget for you. I got a little nugget for 49er fans.
There's no need to worry.
About what?
Training camp is off to a rip-roaring start.
Why do you say that?
Well, your boy, Jake Moody.
Yes.
And Greg Joseph, the kicker he's competing with.
Yep.
8-for-8, including a 55-yarder.
With a two-step?
The UTEP two-step.
Even though he only went to two steps.
And the first pass of training camp. Perfectly placed bomb down the sideline to George Kittle.
Well then why did Carter come in here and say Purdy threw two picks?
Well, that's just a part of it, but you got to take chances.
I'll tell you what.
Apparently D. Winters had a sick pick six.
Oh boy.
Well, he's the guy who's, at least right now, probably got first shot at being the off-ball linebacker.
So, Evan, just FYI, just to give you a little information on quarterbacks and quarterback statistics, if Brock Purdy threw one touchdown and two interceptions, and you extrapolate that over a 17-game season, it's not a good season.
Yeah, but he won the game.
Do we know that?
Yeah, of course. He always wins. It's training camp.
All right. We're talking about the Niners and the expectations, and before I take these two calls, this is kind of what I'm talking about. We got Frank in Atlanta, says the Niners will not be good. And then we've got Antonio in Oakland saying they'll be back in contention. Let's go to Frank in Atlanta first. Frank, why don't you think the Niners are going to be very good this year?
Hey, you guys. Hope everybody's doing well.
Yeah,
yes, you sir.
My thing for the Niners this year is going to be about Shanahan and Saleh. Because on the defensive side of the ball, Saleh is going to have to put together that defensive line so we can get some first down stops and stay out of second and three and second and four. That's going to be the key to our defense. That's what saved us a couple of years ago. And last year we were horrible on defense.
Yeah.
On the offensive side of the ball, it's going to be about Shanahan, because last year, once everybody figured out that McCaffrey was cooked, we spent the whole year up against single high, eight man in the box. And we could run the ball till we got to the 30-yard line. But once we got to the 30-yard line, we couldn't run the ball anymore. And that's what killed us. Before, when we had McCaffrey would just run the ball down your throat. But without McCaffrey, we got shut down at the 25-yard line every time.
Yeah.
We ended up kicking field goals, so everybody's mad when Moody's missing field goals. When before, you didn't have to worry about Jake Moody because McCaffrey was running into the end zone with the ball.
Fair.
So without having a number one wide receiver, we're going to see eight men in the box, single high safety, from Labor Day on. And Shanahan's got to devise an offense. I think McCaffrey is going to have to spend more time at the third down back than he is as the number one primary runner. I think Garrido and that other guy are going to have to split a lot of those carries, because to get to 60 plays, which is the 49ers' MO, we can't think McCaffrey's going to be able to run the ball 22, 23 times. His workload's got to go down to about 12, and he does the finishing at the end of the game. But in the first three quarters, he's going to have to play more on third down and passing downs so he can become check down Charlie, where he doesn't have to carry the load.
Hey, Frank, that's good stuff. And I'll tell you what, since you brought it up about McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan was asked about the workload this year for Christian McCaffrey and what the plan is. And this is what Kyle said.
I mean, it's all on paper somewhere. It's too confusing for me to memorize, or I'll forget things that I don't can't just read on paper. But
you have to take into account to try to get these guys through camp healthy.
Oh, definitely. Which, I mean, which we always do. Last year, neither of them did camp, and that didn't help them go through the season either. So I'm glad that they're both here and healthy, and they get a chance to go back have a chance to build their bodies where they have a chance to get through the season like they have in the past.
All right, so Kyle says they do have a plan for McCaffrey. It's on paper, and apparently he hasn't memorized it.
Well, we'll see when you get to the season. And
exactly.
you're down seven early in the third quarter, and you've already run McCaffrey 12 times in the first half. We'll see if Shanahan shows restraint then. Because even during blowouts, like I remember that was a big talking point in a lot of games during their Super Bowl run to a Super Bowl game. Why is McCaffrey running 30 times in a 30-point blowout? You know, I will wait and see.
Padding statistics. It's called stat padding.
Well, he's not the one who's putting himself in the game.
Possibly.
It's the running back coach and Kyle Shanahan.
But McCaffrey puts a lot of pressure on him. McCaffrey could be a numbers guy. Yeah, might be a numbers guy.
The only number he needs to be concerned about is games played this year.
I'm kidding. All right, Antonio in Oakland says they're back in contention. What's up, Antonio? How you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good, man. I think we got a chance to win a division first, because our division's not that great, man. You know, Matt Stafford, I don't fear him. You know, he's getting old, 37 years old. You know, Kyler Murray's the most overrated quarterback in the league. Like, what has he really done? Well, one playoff appearance in, what, six seasons?
That's great. Didn't he, real quick, Antonio, didn't he chew up and spit out the Niners last year? Kyler?
Yeah, but that was last year. But at the end of the day, it's a new year.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? It's a new year.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, hey, he only made one playoff. I'm just saying. But the Seahawks, they don't really scare me. You know, like, we got rejuvenated. We're going to have an excellent defensive line pass rush. We got Bryce Huff. We got our first round pick. Nick Bosa's going to have more freedom. So, you know, Fred Warner's always motivated. Christian McCaffrey's going to have a big season.
Big season?
You know? So I'm ready, man. And Juwan Jennings, he's a beast, man. Like, he's going to keep getting better. You know, hopefully Ricky Pierce all can stay healthy. But I like our chances, man, because the NFC, other than the Eagles, I mean, do you really fear anybody else? Like, not really.
Hey,
not me.
I got a question for you, seriously, Antonio, because, like, so you think they can be a playoff team. So if in your mind, if they're a playoff team, are they automatically a team that could contend for a Super Bowl?
Yes, and I agree with you on that part, man. If you make it to the playoffs, you have a freaking chance.
Yeah.
That's how it goes, you know?
Yep.
So, like, I think we'll be number two seed, to be honest with you. Number two seed, you know, and then we're going to have home field advantage. The Eagles will probably lose. They're going to be tired from this long playoff run the last couple years. And then, hey, man, we're going to take over. We're going to be in that Super Bowl. Yeah.
There you go, E. Thanks,
George Kittle.
Yeah, thanks, I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Antonio. Yeah, I wonder if he thought the Pittsburgh Steelers had a chance to win the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Did they make the playoffs?
They did.
Then they had a chance.
Yeah, they didn't. They haven't won a playoff game, I think, in like Mike Tomlin's last four trips to the postseason. You know why? Because their teams weren't that good. They were good enough to get to the playoffs, but
Tomlin did a great job last year.
I agree. Yep. That's why it's called levels, Steiny. You know, when an NBA team makes the play-in, that doesn't mean they have a chance to win a championship, in my opinion.
Okay, that's fair.
Just because a team, you know, squeaks in doesn't mean you give them a legitimate shot to win at all like you give a team that you actually believe in. That's just the way that I look at sports.
I got you. Hey, I got a Niners nugget here.
Okay.
Niners, I'll call it a Niners media nugget.
Well, there's like an actual injury we should probably tell people about.
Go ahead.
Jacob Cowing injured his hamstring. He's a wide receiver, so he's going to be evaluated day-to-day.
All right. His career hasn't gotten off to a great start.
He hasn't played much.
No. I know a lot of 49er fans, watch NBC Sports Bay Area, and one of the best beat writers out there, Matt Maiocco. Matt Maiocco works for NBC Sports Bay Area, synonymous with 49ers coverage. He is not going to be traveling to games this year. He's not going to be doing his normal job with NBC Sports Bay Area. Instead, he's going to be more of a fixture on the pre- and post-game shows. And get the drop ready. I talked to Matt today, and he said, it was his choice. 30 years on the road. He said it was time. He said it was getting to be a grind. So.
Whoa.
Congrats on
that. No. He's not retiring. He's just not traveling with the team.
Big change for him.
No. I'm sorry. Save the applause for when he steps down from his career.
No, that's not how it works.
Yes, it is.
No.
I'm still going to be reading from him the entire season. I'm still going to follow him on social media, and I appreciate his coverage of the team. In fact, You know what? I might actually still see him on television.
Yeah, you will on the pre and
That's
post.
That's my point. We're not sending him into the abyss.
It's a completely different opportunity and a completely different job. It's a
less demanding one, which he deserves.
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that.
What, he doesn't have to go on the road anymore? It's more demanding.
You never know what tasks they're going to.
You know what? Well,
no, because
I don't want to go there.
It's the end of an era for Matt Maiocco as a beat writer. And as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the best.
He is.
Yeah, no,
I'm not trying to besmirch
stop saying
his career. I'm not saying that he's not. All I'm saying is, hey, Steiny.
Yeah.
All right. So eventually, in 15 years when you're done with this business.
Yeah.
Well, you're done with this job, right? So you take your final leave. You say, it's time. I don't want to come into the studio every single day. I think I'm just gonna do Warriors pre and post from the house. I can't be out that much. I'll go to some games. But I'm not gonna travel. I you're not gonna hear from me every day anymore. But you're still going to hear from me. You didn't retire.
Okay, just FYI.
We're still going to hear from you.
Okay.
And fans of Matt Steinmetz can still get their whatever they want of Steinmetz.
Okay, well, then I have a question for you.
Okay. You're not going anywhere, bud.
We had a wonderful... morning show host.
I knew you were going to go here.
Bonte Hill. he left the radio business, went full-time to television.
Sure did.
And I'm pretty sure they did a four-hour show. No, it was just an hour. But they honored Bonte, which he deserved. And he wasn't retiring either. But it was a way for listeners to say thank you to Bonte Hill. So I thought it was worth it.
But he's still on the station every Friday.
Well, we didn't know that at the time.
No, but there's nothing wrong with that. But Bonte didn't retire. You can still see Bonte on television. You can still hear from him from 9 to 10 a.m. every Friday when he's around. People that enjoy Bonte Hill, and I'm one of them, still get to hear from Bonte.
Yeah.
He didn't retire.
Okay.
Am I wrong about this?
No, but it was the end of it was the end of a chapter. That's all.
Sure. I don't know about you, but
when I finish a chapter in a book, I celebrate.
Well, the news about Maiocco doesn't have me feeling sad. It's just I'm honestly happy for him because he's going to do some work that is more appropriate for where he's at in his career.
All right.
I'm so upset.
Who was that?
I don't know. Probably. But people, I got people siding with you today. You know what? Actually, that's what I think I'm here for.
What?
To get people to side with you. Because you usually feel like people aren't on your side all the time. Is it? And maybe that's why you're feeling better. You know, you're not as feisty. Because you got people agreeing with you.
Well. Sure. Kyle Shanahan was asked yesterday if the Juwan Jennings situation. By the way, Juwan Jennings is practicing today. And in another piece of news, Jacob Cowing has injured his hamstring. So we'll get more details on that. Wide receiver room gets a little less crowded, which isn't a good thing. But this is Kyle Shanahan being asked if the team foresaw the Jennings contract situation.
Yeah, I think you anticipate all situations that make sense when a player's in that situation. I see the same thing with Colton McKivitz. I mean, those are two guys to me in very similar situations that I think the way they feel about us is the same way we feel about them. You know, that's the easy part. The hard part's the business side. You know, when people talk about how to avoid drama and stuff and things like that, and I'm trying not to say negative about it, I think that's just business. I think it's, I don't call that drama, I call that business. I mean, if you want to avoid all drama, then just be really extremely bad at business and just be ridiculous on everything, and I guess there'd be no drama until you tear your team apart doing that. So, like, you look into all that stuff, but, like, we got a great relationship with these guys. As two guys, that does make sense. We can do everything we can to make that work out, but it's not always easy to make it work out, so we'll see how that goes.
Nah, he's getting paid. That's what I heard. What'd you hear?
He's getting paid?
Yeah, they'll redo it.
Oh, well, I mean, you say potato, I say potato. You call it drama, I call it business. Like, it's the same thing. You know.
No, he's saying it isn't the same thing.
Well, yeah, because Juwan Jennings is practicing. But if Juwan Jennings had held out or held in today, then it would be, in his mind, it'd be business. But for us, it would be drama.
Oh, I thought he was saying the mere fact that I thought what he was saying is, we anticipated that Juwan may want this to happen, or this may be the route, but that's just football. You know, like, I don't think Jennings is a distraction. I don't think he's drama this year. I think you're right.
Well, yeah, but again, I'm
right, rather. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. But if he wasn't there, then it would be drama. And I think Kyle Shanahan is saying that, like, these contract negotiations that have happened, you know, umpteen times in the last few off seasons, he looks at as business. That's what I hear him saying. And all that I'm trying to, like, I don't think, to him it's business, to us it's drama. When Brandon Ayuk is
right
unfollowing and scrubbing the team from Instagram, that's drama. So, yeah, he may think it's just necessary and will resolve itself, but, like, what am I to do? Then we come to find out, week 4 or 5 of the regular season, that it took you running to the GM's office to prevent you from trading him.
That's business.
No, that's drama. Like, so him, I understand that he's trying to downplay
right,
it, and
exactly.
That's his job.
Exactly.
It's also our job to be concerned about players that are not available in camp. Terry McLaurin in Washington, to me, that's drama. He's holding out because he wants a contract. What's going to happen there? If T.J. Watt hadn't gotten the deal he wanted, he might have held in like he's done before for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Terry Hendrickson in Cincinnati, that's drama. So, you know, I hear him, and I'm glad that we actually don't have that this offseason. I think it's refreshing.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers first practice is right now. They're practicing right now. Let's get to some more of this sound. There's some good sound here. What do you want to hear about? How he feels about wide receiver, Kyle?
Well, yeah, he just lost one.
Well, this will be a quote before he knew that.
Anytime we don't have 12 receivers for any NFL camp that I've been in 21 years, I feel light. And so we have 12. That's a hard thing with PUP. Because when a guy's on PUP, he counts on your 90. So even though we have 12 receivers in our building, with BA not being able to go throughout training camp, that means you only have 11. With Ricky not on the with him on PUP for at least the first three practices, it means we only have 10, which you can get by with 10 until one guy has a sore hamstring the next day. And then you go with 9. And when you have 9 in a practice, one of those guys is going to get hurt because you're having to overload a guy because you're now 3 less than 12. And if you do that for a few days, it's tough. So that's the hard thing with PUP guys. Even though it looks like your numbers are there, they're not. So we felt we had to get a guy for the numbers, or eventually you lose one guy, that's going to lead to two more. So that's really the thought behind all that. And we have that with every position, really.
Well, isn't that timely?
Wow. You talk about a coach that knows his team. He knew it. You know, he's like Christopher Walken in The Dead Zone. He can see into the future. You ever see that movie?
Well, no.
Oh, my gosh. You should see that movie. It is a great movie. Risotto? Dead Zone.
Never seen it.
Are you familiar with Christopher Walken?
I do. Yeah, okay. I know him.
How about Martin Sheen?
Yeah, I know him too.
Well, he's in it too. He plays the President of the United States.
He always plays the President of the United States. Like, I'm dead ass serious. Martin Sheen has more roles as the President of the United States than not.
President Bartlett, right?
Yes, West Wing.
Yeah. No hope for Stilson.
He's a great president.
You know what that means?
What?
Does anybody know what that means? No hope for Stilson. It's how the movie ended.
Well, sounds like a...
Should I tell you?
Unhappy ending. No, I want to watch it.
Well, now I'm going to tell you.
No, you don't.
No, it's a good movie. So Christopher Walken has this ability to see into the future if he touches somebody. So like if I met you,
yeah,
if I'm walking, Christopher, and I shake your hand, I'll get a feeling about what you're all about and how your life's going to end up. All right. So what happened in this movie was Martin Sheen was the president. I'm sorry, he was a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
So they're at some rally, and Walken's there, Christopher, and you know how they shake hands, politicians shake hands with everybody?
Well, you're saying his name like there's not another Walken.
Well, I want people to know that I'm not talking about the act of walking.
Okay.
So, you know, they shake hands, and when they shake hands, Walken feels this sense he has. And he gets this vision of Stilson as president pushing the nuclear button to get us into a world war. So the dilemma for Walken now is, as he said, you know, if you knew that you were gonna, you know, you knew you had a chance to, let's say, kill Adolf Hitler, would you have done it?
Yes.
Right. And so that's what Christopher Walken ended up doing. And what happened is, so Christopher Walken goes to one of his, campaign rallies with a gun because he's going to try to assassinate him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Walken fires the bullet and it misses Stilson. But Stilson doesn't know where the bullet's coming from and he's getting scared. And he picks up a baby. Stilson picks up a baby and uses the baby as a human shield. And the last scene in the movie is the cover of Time magazine showing Stilson holding up a baby to protect himself with the title, No Hope for Stilson. You see, because he tried to use a baby as a human shield, and that didn't go over well with the American public.
Oh, who cares?
They thought it was a little bit of cowardice.
No, I'll definitely check it out.
It's a great movie.
No, it does remind me. Oh, God, what's the Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis spoof? Might be the candidate, but he too uses a baby as a human shield, and now I'm thinking that...
The Campaign.
The Campaign. Thank you, Pasta. That's kind of a... an ode to it, but it's a comedic movie, obviously.
Yeah, no, this is more of a drama caper.
Yeah. I'm in.
My favorite part about all of that was Steiny trying to make sure people didn't think that he was talking about walking, like walking, yeah, the act of walking.
No, Christopher.
Yeah, we get it.
Thank you. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number on the other side. We got something to celebrate, ladies and gentlemen. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Don't go anywhere. That segment brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.